Thank you for joining Truth and Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthandlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth and Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth and Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now where the message is already in progress.
Time to make a move. For the last several weeks, we have been following the life of Jesus Christ, and I don't believe that there's no greater subject for any person to study than that of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen him. We've been following him from hopeless situation to hopeless situation. And we've seen him demonstrate his power and demonstrate his ability to be able to have just simply rule and reign over whatever circumstance that he came encounter with. We've seen him be able to deal and heal with curing a leper. We've seen that. We've studied and we've taught how he healed a paralytic man that was on a bed. They ripped back the roof and dropped him in the middle of the worship experience that was going on. There was a man with a withered hand that Jesus told him just to stretch out his hand and the Lord healed him. There was a woman that was bent over for 18 years and the Lord told her to straighten up, and we saw how God miraculously healed her. We talked about how it was a man that was born blind, and here Jesus told him to go and wash in the pool of sin, and the Bible says he came back seeing. We saw how there was a funeral procession. They were trying to take this young man to his final resting spot, and Jesus was going into Nain, and the Bible says that he spoke to them and he touched the stretcher and he told the young man to rise up, and we saw how he bust up a funeral. Then we saw on last week how there was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 long years that just simply fought through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. What has been my point in walking through this house of healing? Because so many people are afraid at this moment. So many people are nervous at this moment. So many people, we inundate ourselves with CNN, with Fox News, and with social media so much that oftentimes I believe that the people of God lose sight on the fact that no matter what's going on in the world, the Lord has already prepared for us a house of healing. And here, no matter what we face, no matter how much we go through in our body, whether it be mentally, whether it be emotionally, whether it be physically, whether it be relationally, makes no difference what it is we go through, but God has power and he has control over every circumstance and every situation. So my point is, I'm just going to be real with you. My point is to pump you up with some faith. Yes, sir. To remind you of what it is that Jesus Christ is able to do, to remind you what he's already done, and to remind you of what it is that he desires to do in his life. The Holy Spirit, I believe, dropped in my spirit and said, son, teach my people, remind my people of what it is that I did. And I'm still a miracle worker. I'm still one that's able to heal, to set free, and to deliver. And so we're going to continue this. We're going to go on this Sunday, next Sunday. It'll be the Lord's will. We're going to talk about these particular miracles because there are three instances in the scripture. Out of all the miracles that we've studied, out of all the things that we've talked about, there's only three instances in the scripture that where Jesus resuscitated someone, that where Jesus raised someone from the dead. We talked about the fella that was on his way to the cemetery 2 weeks ago, and now we're going to talk about another instance. When we look at the life of Jesus Christ, he has power over everything. Even when you look in Mark chapter 4 and 5, he was trying to take him a nice little nap, and the Bible says that the disciples came and woke him up and said, Master, don't you care? We're getting ready to die. They were in the middle of a storm, and Jesus he woke up and he spoke up and he simply said, peace, be still. And he was able to calm the wind and be able to calm all the things that were going on. Then soon as he got off of the boat, the Bible says that there was a demon-possessed man that was full of demons. demons. Jesus healed him. And so we see Jesus having victory. He has victory over danger, which are the storms of life. We see him have victory over demons, which will try to harass us and which try to plague us. We see Jesus have victory over disease. It makes no difference what's going on in our body. And he even has victory over death. It makes no difference what it is that we encounter and what we face. He's already has the victory. And Paul said it like this: thanks be to God who has given us the victory. So if he has victory over danger, victory over demons, victory over disease, victory over death, he said he gave us the victory. I'm telling you, I'm trying to pump you up with some faith to let you know whatever it is that you encounter, God has already given us the victory. He's already given us the victory. And by the time we get to our text today, we see another hopeless situation. We see Jesus getting ready to encounter someone who is going through the trial of their life. Let's dive right into it. Mark chapter 5, verse number 21. The Bible says, and when Jesus had crossed again, I've told you this on last week, how he got on the boat. They went across, encountered the storm. Then when they got off the boat, that was the demon that he faced. They got back on the boat and now they're on their way back. So he crossed again. He went and now he came back. He went and now he came back. And now the Bible says when he crossed again on the boat on the other side, a great crowd gathered about him and he was beside the sea. There was a great crowd that was there watching and waiting for him and longing for him. I love what Luke says. Look what Luke says in Luke chapter 8 verse 40. It says, now when Jesus returned, the crowd did what? Welcomed him. They welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. That is so good. I'm already peeking some preaching possibilities right here because Jesus got on the boat. He went across. He was in the middle of a storm. Then he got off the boat. Then that's when he faced a demon. Got back on the boat, and the Bible says they were waiting for him. They were waiting for him. Somebody had to be on watch out. Somebody had to be standing by the sea, and they saw the boat off into the distance, and they got a glimpse. They got a glimpse of the silhouette of Jesus and said, that's them. And they went and told people. He's on his way back. They welcomed him. They were waiting for him. And what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to encourage you during this time, during this season. This needs to be our mindset. We need to be waiting for him. We need to be longing for him. We need to have him and desire him in our presence. In fact, we want his presence in our presence. Let me tell you what my first point is. It's up on the screen. It's on your screen. I feel like Vanna is on. It's on the screen right long up in here somewhere. Can I tell you, we ought to posture. I am to posture myself for his presence. If I'm going to make a move, come on, people of God. If I'm going to make a move, I must posture myself for his presence. This is the only way I'm going to be able to make a move. I got to posture myself for his presence. It's been too many times that you and I have made moves on our own. It's been too many times that we've gotten ahead of God. It's been too many times that we've sidestepped God. It's been too many times that we've bitten off too much that we can chew. It's been too many times that we've gotten ourselves engulfed in something and engaged in something that God had nothing to do. But now, this next move, now this next season, I got to posture myself for his presence. And I'm saying, God, I'm not going to move until you move. God, I'm not going to go, God, until you give me the green light. God, I need your presence, God. Oh, that's what Moses told God when they were in the when they were in the wilderness. The Bible says they were there in the wilderness, and here they had messed up so many times. God told Moses, he said, I'm going to send some angels before you, and they're going to prepare the way for you, and they're going to fight for you. But Moses was a little smart. Moses said, okay, you said you're going to send an angel, but you didn't say when you was coming, when you coming. And Moses said, God, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. God, if your presence not going to be with us, then God, I don't want to go. And come on here, I don't care how big the house is, if God's presence is not there, I don't want to go. I don't care how nice the car is, if God not present, not there, I don't want. I don't care how tall, dark, and handsome he is, or short, round, with waves, whatever your preference is. If God's presence is not there, I don't want it. Come on here. I need to know. I say, God, if your presence is gone. But Moses said, no, God, I want you to show me your glory. Oh, come on, in the middle of a pandemic, that's where you need to be at. You need to say, God, I need to see your presence like never before. God, I need to experience your power like never before. I got to posture myself for your presence. I can't be YouTubing all day, and I need God's presence. I can't be Netflixing all day and I desire God's presence. I can't be on the telephone like my Auntie Frances say and I need God's presence. No, I got to posture myself for his presence. Oh, come on here, somebody. When you come up out of this pandemic, you ought to be more anointed. You ought to be more on fire. You ought to have something more that God put on you when you're men in the fire, when you're in the middle of the pinch, when you're in the middle of the jam. You ought to position yourself. Position yourself for his presence. Oh, I'm getting too happy. I'm mixing up my word, but you can throw. You know what I'm trying to say here. You got to position yourself for his presence. I got to get out of here. Let me go. You got to position yourself for his presence. They were waiting. They're waiting on Jesus. Who you waiting on? Who you looking for? They postured their self for his presence. They were, here in the real sense, they were bracing for impact.
All right.
They didn't know what Jesus was going to do. But they knew when Jesus showed up, something was going to jump off. Come on here. They were bracing themselves for impact. What am I trying to do? I'm going to tell you for the third time. I'm trying to pump you up with some faith and trying to tell you when Jesus gets in your midst, when Jesus gets in your situation, I don't know what he's going to do, but I know he's going to do something. And you ought to brace yourself for impact. You ought to brace yourself for greater. You ought to brace yourself for exceeding, for abundantly, for above all you can ever ask or think. I know he's going to do something. I don't know what he's going to do. They were bracing for impact. Let me keep going here, because the Bible says in Mark chapter 5 verse 22, here it is. It said, then came one of the rulers of the synagogue. We wasn't expecting this. Here in the middle of this crowd, in the middle of these individuals that are posturing themselves for his presence, there's a ruler of the synagogue. That may not mean much to us, but that's why you got me, for me to explain to you what a ruler of the synagogue is. And here, this is the individual that was a very important individual in their community. The synagogue was a place that you got the scripture. It was a place that you got educated. It was like the town hall. This is where everything went down. And this individual that was a ruler of the synagogue, they had a lot of prestige, a lot of power, a lot of influence. And this individual, he came to Jesus. Now, why is that so important, Pastor? Why is that something that surprises you? Because at this time, the thermometer is turned up to where the heat is on the ministry of Jesus Christ. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who this brother is not a Pharisee or a Sadducee, but he's connected to the religious system. They're hating Jesus right now. They're trying to plot. They're trying to scheme. They're trying to kill him. And the Bible says because of what Jesus was doing, because of all the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, his teaching, his preaching, his authority that he exemplified, they were trying to take him out. So here this brother who's a ruler of a synagogue, you would think that he would try to distance himself from the master. You think he'll try to go the other way. But the Bible says in the middle of the crowd of the people that's posturing themselves for his presence, here comes his brother. His brother was an individual that had, as I said, he had prominence, he had position, he had prestige. There was a lot of privileges. Yes, sir. He had prosperity and power. This was not no little Johnny come lately. This was not no little Joe Schmo. Oh, but no, this was a ruler of the synagogue. And here the Bible tells us what his name was. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 22. Jairus by name. I love that. That reminds me, y'all don't know nothing about this. That reminds me of Drew Hill back in the 90s. They had a song, and beauty is her name. Y'all don't know nothing about that. I know it was, if I tell you, if I grab the back of your neck to make you listen to me, you know that song, I'm sure. You make me see that. Y'all know you know that song here. Dump like a truck. What? What? Anyway, but Jairus was his name. Oh my God. How y'all know? You don't know nothing about that, Chila. Jairus. By name, Jairu said, not Jairu, but he ain't even here. Drew Hill said, beauty is his name. But here, look, Jairus, that's what made me say Jairu. He says, Jairus by name. Look, what's so important about that? Come on, I tell you, words are pregnant and names are pregnant. You this brother's name, look what his name means. He whom God enlightens. Look what his name means. This kind of lets us know why this brother is in the crowd. Because his name means he whom God enlightens. And in other words, can I say it to you this way? God have shown this brother something. God has enlightened him. God has illuminated something. God has improved him. God has educated him. He's guided him. God has enlightened him. I'm trying to tell you that this brother knows he needs the presence of Jesus. He knows he needs the power of Jesus because God has revealed some things to him. Oh, come on here. I'm coming to you right there on your couch. I'm coming for somebody who the Lord has shown you something. The Lord has spoke words to you. Come on, where all of those individuals that God deal with in dreams? Where those individuals that God deal with those prophetic words? Where those individuals that God gives you those utterances? And come on, you cannot allow what it is that's going on right now to squeeze out that thing that God has spoken to you in the middle of the night. You cannot allow what it is that's going on. God has already shown you something. God has already revealed something to you. If God has enlightened you and God has said, no, I got something coming. No, I got something on the way. No, I don't look at what it is. I want you to know what it is that's coming. I need you to sit up and I need you to posture your heart and I need you to be able to get to the point the way you're looking for God to do what it is that he showed you. Oh, come on here. He showed me something. Why you keep on loving God the way you love him? Because he showed me something. Why you keep on forgiving and forgiving and forgiving? Because he showed me something. Why you keep on pursuing? Why you keep on pressing? Why you keep on going above and beyond? Oh, because the Lord has shown me something. And even when he showed me something, eyes have not seen. Good God. Ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into my heart those things that he's going to do. Even though he showed me something. Even though he enlightened me, there's still more on the way. Come on, can I tell you that for the fourth time, I come to pump you up with some faith. And I'm trying to tell you that there's more on the way. There's more. Multiply more. There's overcoming more. There's residual. There's more. There's exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can ever ask or think. There's more. There's more on the way. Oh, y'all to type down the screen. There's more on the way. Oh, I haven't seen the anointing yet. There's more on the way. Haven't seen the power yet. There's more on the way. He got more for me. Yes, sir. There's more on the way. I got to get out of here. There's more. Let me go. I got to calm down. I got 67 more scriptures. I got to calm down. No, 67. The Bible says, this brother comes to Jesus. Oh, this is so powerful. Because the Lord showed him something. He was enlightened. So we see this brother postured himself for the presence. But the second thing we see is a picture of humility. If you're going to make a move that God endorses and embrace, you got to humble yourself. Oh, look at this brother. This brother really gives us a recipe for how God is going to move in our life if we desire for him to move for us. Look at verse 22. Seeing him, look at this. He fell at his feet. If that would have been me, that wouldn't be such a big deal. But because this is Jairus, this enlightened one, this synagogue ruler, this is jaw dropping. Because this is a man of prestige. I just told you, a man of power. This is a professional man. This is a respected man. And here he sees Jesus and he humbles himself. He postures himself in humility. This brother comes and he I told you it's a large crowd there. And Jairus, this religious leader, he kind of pushes his way through the crowd. He kind of shoves, excuse me, and gets to Jesus and falls on his feet. Can I tell you that there are some things that have hit our homes? There are some things that have hit our lives that'll make us push away from people and push through some things and get to a place where I need to be at the master's feet. Jairus got to the point that where this was the biggest trial that he's ever experienced in his life. He said, oh, this is not just something I just can yarn at. This is not just something I can act like as if it's not happening. Oh, but he knows I need to push to something because I need something I've never needed before. I need to push to a thing because this thing that's bothering me, this thing that's in my home, this thing that's in my house, I haven't dealt with this before, so I got to pump up the volume a little bit. I got to do something a little bit different. Jairus comes to the master. He's telling him, Lord, he said, I can't handle this, but I know you can. He pushes aside his prominence. He pushes aside his position. He pushes aside his privilege. He pushes aside his prestige. He pushes aside his prosperity. He pushes aside his power, and he said, Lord, I need you. I need you to help me. Look at this picture of humility. I'm looking for somebody, oh, who will say, God, I'm tired of trying to figure this out on my own. I'm tired of doing things my way. I'm tired of just living my life and trying to do things and accomplish things on my own. But no, God, I need something different from you. Here, Jairus, the Bible said he came. He saw Jesus. He came. He saw Jesus. He came and he fell at his feet. In a real sense, we see a stripping of himself. His brother stripped. He stripped of himself. I told you, he's a man. He Jairus. He's a synagogue ruler. But he said, none of that matters right now. Because I need something from the master. Look at this humility. This brother has this humility. He comes to Jesus and pushed through the crowd. And he says, Lord, I need to make a move. This brother lays aside his pride. He lays aside his dignity. He laid aside, oh, his friends and his family and what they would think. Oh, and I'm looking for a group of men. That's why I'm grateful. Oh, for the men of TIL. That's why I'm grateful for the Man Cave brothers. Come on, men. Y'all to give us a shout out, man. Come on, y'all to come on. Brothers, come on. That's what I'm grateful. Oh, because I'm trying to raise up a group of men. I'm not trying to raise no little bow wow. No, I'm trying to raise up a group of men that's ferocious. Come on, I'm trying to raise up a group of men that don't mind getting with you and don't mind worshiping at the same time. Come on, I'm trying to raise up a group of brothers that don't mind lifting up their hand, that don't mind being broken in worship. And Jairus was to the point that where my family needs something from Jesus, so I don't care about how cool I am right now. I don't care about what people think about me right now, but now I need to worship him. I need to pull something out of him because he got something for me. I'm trying to raise up a group of men that's not so cool. That we say praising is for the ladies. No, my friend, the devil and his auntie is a lie. All that emotionalism, it's not emotionalism. I know why I'm dancing. I know why I'm shouting. I know why I'm with pastor. That's good with you because you the pastor. Oh, before I was ever a pastor, come on, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God, and I don't mind giving God praise. I don't know who was more manlier. David killed a lion in a pit in the snow. David was a man that took a little rock and a slingshot and killed a 9-foot-9 giant. And the Bible said David danced out of his clothes. The Bible said David danced so to the Lord that when he gave God glory and gave God, I don't know who's more manlier than David. And he praised the Lord. I'm trying to raise up a group of men like Jairus that it didn't matter what people said. I'm going to lay all that aside. Yes. I need something from the master. Look what James said. James chapter 4 verse 10. Look what James said. Humble yourselves before the Lord. I've told you, TIL, that where if God have to humble you, it's called humiliation. Yes. You remember that? If God has to humble you, it's called humiliation. But he always gives us an opportunity to humble ourselves. To humble ourselves before him. He says, James said, and he will exalt you. You're waiting and looking for exaltation. But God is waiting for and looking for humility. When you humble yourself, then you'll see the exaltation. Come on, you know what Peter says. Peter says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And he will exalt you in due time. I love what the Message paraphrase said. This same verse, James 4:10. It says, get down on your knees before the master. Look at this. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. God, that's good. Get down on your knees before the man has life knocked the wind out of you. Come on, has life knocked you so the way you see in stars? Have life hit you so hard that way you don't know which way to go? You don't know which way is up and down and left and right. Oh, the paraphrase Bible says it's the only way you can get on your feet is when you go down. Oh, come on here. Can I tell you that's how the kingdom economy works? You want to go up, you got to go down. You want to get, you got to give. Come on here. You want to be healed, you got to forgive. Come on, what am I telling? This is the way the economy works. Oh, James said, if you want to get up on your feet, you got to get down on your knees. Oh, come on here. All of my quarantine worshipers. Come on, I know you worshiping the Lord in the house. I know you turned your worship, your house into a sanctuary. I know you've gotten to a posture. You got to a place that when you're saying, God, I need you like never before. I need to get out of this, God. So I'm going to go in. Oh, come on. Let me tell you something. The way out is going in. The way getting out is going in. You want to get out of something, you got to go into worship. You got to go into praise. You got to put on the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaven is in God. He'll lift you up. Yes, he will. Let me get out of here. I'm a little too excited, but I'm telling you, by the time I'm done, what's on me, it'll get on you. By the time I'm done, I promise you it will. Jairus, it didn't matter. He didn't care about what it was he was going through. He did not care about his prestige, his power, his prosperity. He didn't care about all of that because he needed something from the master. Look what this great man of God says. It's so appropriate. I cannot allow who I am to stop me from becoming what I'm not. Thank God, that's so good. That's the best thing I've said in a long time. I can't allow who I am to stop me from becoming what I'm not. What does that mean? That means because I'm this and because I'm that. You can take that in a negative way or you can take that in a positive way. Because you messed up so much, because you got so many mistakes, because you've went up and down and did things that you should not have done, you cannot allow your mistakes to stop you from becoming who God said you can become. And you cannot allow, because your life look all pristine, look all good, because you're the cat's meow and the dogs bow wow, you cannot allow who you are to stop you from becoming who it is that God have called you to be. Oh, my friend, I have not apprehended what it is I've been apprehended for. But it's one thing I do. I forget those things that are behind me, and I press toward the mark because I know he got something more for me. I need more power. I need more anointing. I need something more. So I can't let what it is that I am stop me from becoming who he's trying to get me to be. Let me get out of here. I didn't hit you on Tuesday. Let me get out of here. We see. His brothers postured himself for his presence. That's what we need to do. Posture myself for his presence. We see, look at this, a picture of humility. Look at this next thing. We see a plea of desperation. Because, God, it was because of what he was facing that dictated his worship. You missed it. It was what was going on in his life that caused the intensity of his worship. What we do is we go opposite. Where you been at? I've been going through. Well, how come you're? I just got so much going on. If you got so much going on, that ought to make you turn the dial up on your worship. And your commitment to the things of God. Who was going through more than Job? That after report, your children are dead, your livestock is gone, your money and your fortune is gone, and your wife comes to you and say, y'all to curse God and die. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Who was going through more than Job? That Job said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return again. Oh, I'll bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continue be in my mouth. It was what this brother was going through that caused him to get to a place of desperation. You know why you don't have a breakthrough yet? You're not desperate enough. You know why you keep on going around and around and around? Because you don't want it bad enough. You know why you cannot get over that next level? You know why you can't go to that next place? Because you am not desperate enough. Oh, come on here, somebody. I talk to them and give you a picture. I talk to people all the time that need stuff. I need this. I want some. I need some food. Come on here. I'm not talking down. I've been there before. They want some food. And I say, okay, come on, let me take you here and I'll get you some need. I told you before, I was at CVS and if somebody came out and said, I want some food, I said, all right, let's go over here to KFC. They say, I don't like KFC. I said, then you're not hungry. Come on here. You're not hungry enough.
Thank you for listening to Truth and Love Ministries. Located at 1989 Dunn Avenue, Jacksonville, Florida, 32218. Under the loving leadership of Pastors Colby and Camilla Nesbitt. Join us for our Sunday morning worship experience at 9 and 11:15 a.m. We would also love to see you at our Triple Play Thursday, which is our midweek worship experience, kicking off at 12 noon, corporate prayer at 6 p.m., and concluding with a powerful teaching and walk through the Word at 7 p.m. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Truth and Love Jacks. For more information, call us at 904-683-9843. Again, 904-683-9843.